Blog Talk Radio.
I am your host, Jim Brown, and today is Tuesday, February 19th, 2013. The chat room is open, and it's just a lot of fun before the show starts to watch people log in and log out in 10 seconds or something like that. But you're welcome to play in the chat room, or you can email me with any questions at jim@jimbrownspeaker.com, and all my books and all that stuff is on my website, which is jimbrownspeaker.com. And I've learned how to put pictures up here, and I'm having a good time with that. And just in case you don't know who the lady who is laughing in the picture on your screen, that's my wife, Rosemarie. And we've been, well, I'll say we've been happily married since August of 1967, and I'm absolutely thrilled that she's my wife. And speaking of my wife, she was just talking to somebody about going on a cruise and how she just loves to have me work and then she just rest. So I will be speaking on the Coral Princess this April 20th. I told you several weeks from 14 days from April 20th to May 4th, and it's from Los Angeles to Fort Lauderdale, goes through the Panama Canal, and this October, on the Star Princess from October 6th through the 21st, and that's from here in Los Angeles to Hawaii and back. Now, I need your help. We're working here on being heart-centered and looking at our life from a living perspective and a loving perspective from being heart-centered, and as I told you in the first show, I come from a totally 100% left-brain majority of my life, and have moved through center and into my right brain and enjoy being there and enjoy expressing my heart and from my heart. And yet, there's this left brain part of me that still works. So here's my dilemma and where I'm asking you for help. Last week, almost 200 people listened to this show live, and I'm looking at the chat room and there was like two people on, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, nobody's listening to it. And over 330 or 40 people have listened to it in the archives, which is a total of over 525 people. Now, here's my dilemma. I only sent out 155 emails, and I use Constant Contact, and they give us statistics. Only 43 of those emails got open. So let's just round that to 50. 50 got opened. 525 people plus listen to the show. How do you people find the show? I don't have a clue. I mean, I can find it because it's me. But I'm real curious to find out a variety of things. One is how you find it. Two, where you are in the world. And three, what are you looking for in the show? How is it helping you so that I can target my comments and my remarks on what your wants and needs are. Feel free to either make comments in the chat room or, like I said, send me an email, and that's jim@jimbrownspeaker.com. I sit here, and I'm still amazed after 20-some years of speaking that I spend as much time as I spend putting a show together each week. The difference is that the programs I have as a speaker, I've got maybe 9 or 10 programs. I've put them together, and I look at it, review it, and ready to go. But each week here, it's something new, and I've got, on an average each week, I've got about 8 pages of notes, and I'm sitting here waiting for you guys to come on, and I'm still making changes. And we're talking about forgiveness today, and forgiveness, as I sit here and I think about it, I can't think of anything that's more important in our life. Love obviously is, but I can't think of anything that creates more angst for us, more pain. hour and a half for giving. So as I'm sitting here preparing for the show this morning, I look through my notes and I said, there's no way I can cover this the way I want to cover it in an hour. So what I did is I went and extended the show to 2 hours. But I don't think that's fair to those of you who are listening, because you may have something that you need to do in an hour. So what I'll probably end up doing is seeing and feeling what happens, and then we'll continue next week. This morning we have a new teacher in yoga, and I go to another yoga class, and the teacher there, she doesn't end on time, and that really upsets me, because people have things to do. So in deference to that, I think we'll just go the hour, and then next week we'll do it again, and we have almost a 16-minute guided meditation. Now, the meditation isn't 16 minutes, but I want to give you the instructions, and I put that in the recorded part of the meditation, or the whole meditation. But going back to what we were talking about this morning is this new teacher, her name is Karen, and she's just delightful, just has so much animation, and it's fun to be with people who you can feel when you walk in the room, and she's one of them. And the class was way too hard for me. I just, you know, those of you who take yoga, Nadine, you're out there, and I know you're listening. Everybody who takes yoga with me knows my favorite pose is Shavasana, which is the final resting pose. My point is that we need to have fun. We need to enjoy our life. We need to enjoy every interaction we have. And most of us know people who go out and they bought underwear that's three sizes too small. I mean, it's just unbelievable how they go through life. They don't enjoy anything. So we're going to start out and talking about having fun. And an example, I'm very, very outgoing. And those of you who know me know that I'm outgoing. So I don't have a problem talking to anybody anywhere in the world and feel like I've been guided to do that. And last week, I had a problem with the company that does the drugs that the hospital Rosemary works at. You know, it's a mail order place, and I had to call and talk to somebody in the tech department, and just get to feel and start talking about different things. And the woman just several occasions, you know how we talk and we stop and the other person talks. It was just dead silence. And I know that I had touched her. And finally she says, you've touched my heart. And to me, there's nothing that's more incredible or gratifying or satisfying than touching another person's heart. And I've told you, I've spoken on cruises for 18, 19 years. I've done about 30 of them. And several years ago, there was a cruise. Rosemary's mom had senile dementia. My mom had senile dementia. Rosemary's, one of her aunts had it. One of her uncles had it. So we've dealt with it in our family. Well, we were on this cruise from, I want to say, Venice to Manaus, which is 1,000 miles in the Amazon River. So it was a repositioning cruise going across the Atlantic, going up into the Amazon. And the first talk I gave, this woman bought both of my books, and this was before I had 3 books, and she, her husband was with her afterward, and I was signing the books, and I said, well, what's your name? And he said, Clearwater, Florida. And I said, well, what's this lady's name you're with? And he said, Clearwater, Florida. Well, what I do on a cruise ship is I do the talks for the ship, and then after about 3 or 4 of those, I will have what I call more spiritual-based talks, and I just sit in meditation, and whatever I'm guided to speak about is what I speak about. This lady brought her husband to every program, which was, on this particular cruise, was a total of 11 programs. He never said a word, and she came to me halfway during the cruise, and she said, he said the first sentence he said in 6 months, and it was, I want a sandwich. We've dealt with it in our families, but I just can't imagine dealing with it as a husband or a wife. So the last program I do, at the end of the last program, I sit in a stool and I emote from my heart, and I have the Andre Bocelli and Sarah Brightman singing "It's Time to Say Goodbye." And I close my eyes, because if I have my eyes open, you know, I'm going to look at you, and you may not look like you like what I'm saying, or it's too much for you, and I get intimidated by that. For the first time, and the only time in my life, I felt somebody penetrate my energy field. And I'm sitting in the stool, and when I get through, there's a line of people standing there giving me a hug. This woman's husband stood up and hugged me and kissed me. And one of the women, Bettina, who we had met on the cruise, who was the flautist, she said, "His mind is gone, but you touched his soul." Now, each one of us has to have money to pay our bills, but I can't imagine anything more gratifying than being able to touch somebody's soul. With that, I just throw that out to you and in hope and in suggestion that we don't hold back on what we want to say to people, how we want to impact people, because we don't know how we're impacting them. With that, wait a minute, here's another note I have written down the side. Okay, let's go to our funny email. At least I think they're funny. This one is about Thanksgiving divorce. And a man in Jacksonville calls his son in San Diego the day before Thanksgiving and says, "I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are divorcing. 45 years of misery is enough." "Pop, what are you talking about?" the son screams. "We can't just stand the sight of each other any longer," the father says. "We're sick of each other, and I'm sick of talking about this, so you call your sister in Denver and you tell her." Frantic, the son calls his sister, who explodes on the phone. "Like heck they're getting divorced," she shouts. "I'll take care of this." She says, "I'm going to call Jacksonville immediately." She screams at her father, and she says, "You're not getting divorced. Don't do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back. We'll both be there tomorrow. Until then, don't do a thing. Do you hear me?" She hangs up. The old man hangs up the phone, turns to his wife. He says, "Okay, hon, they're coming for Thanksgiving, and they're paying their own way." Rachel, if you're out there, it was a clean one. Getting into the show, and we're only 13 minutes into it, you are safe. No harm will come to you in this space. Remember, my goal every week is to bring more love, happiness, joy, compassion, peace, and abundance into your life. And I invite you every week when you listen to the show, listen to it with the idea of taking one thing out of the show that you can implement into your daily life. Some people even keep a journal. Today's show is obviously on forgiving others. 2 weeks ago, this show was about forgiving yourself. If you would have missed that, go to the archives, which is blogtalkradio.com/the Joy Cafe Network, and scroll down to my February 5th show. I have a friend from Starbucks whose name is Kathy, and her mom listened to the show. And Kathy was telling me her mom told her to listen to that Forgiving Yourself show. She says, listen to that show twice a week. When we really look at life, all life is a series of relationships. Obviously, we've talked about the relationship we have with ourselves. We didn't spend much time talking about a relationship we have with our Creator, but that's my whole goal in life, is to help people make that relationship they have with their Creator, whatever they call that, I don't care what it's called, a bigger, more focused part of their life. We have relationship we have with others and the people that we relate to and interact with every day of our life. Now, here's the rub and here's the problem. Every single one of us has a different set of values. We all have a different set of beliefs. We all have very different life experiences, and every one of us has different expectations. And I've talked to police where they said they read eyewitness reports of an accident by 3 or 4 different people, and you can't even tell it's the same accident. So the same event, we all experience and see it and we're all going to have different interpretations of what it is. So we assume that somebody else is saying or doing something differently, and that's hurting our feelings. But that's got to do with what our values are, what our beliefs are, what our life experiences are, and what expectations we have of ourselves and other people. I don't know about you, but very often and too often, I say things without thinking, or you know how the words are going to come out of my mouth, or the impact my actions will have. One of the most important things to me in my life is to have other people laugh. And Nadine, you know how I am. You've been with me in yoga for years, and I'll just spontaneously say things. Katina, her last week was last Tuesday, and as we're finishing, and then I said, oh, I'm going to miss you. And she says, I'll be with you in spirit. And just like I was vomiting, out of my mouth comes, well, we want your body. Everybody roared. But that's the kind of person I am, that I say those things and hope that nobody is offended by it, and I didn't mean anything offensive. It's just like, I love you, I love the way you teach your class, and I want you here. I don't, you know, we're not going to have the same class when you're not here. And I think the thing is to be aware of what we say, and these things are going to have impacts on other people. And at the same time, I've told you before that when I first started speaking, the most important, the biggest fear I had was that somebody would ask me a question I didn't have the answer to. And Terry Cole Whitaker had written a book, What You Think of Me Is None of My Business. And I've told you before, and I'll continue to reiterate the same things over and over again, because we need to integrate them into ourselves. And the two things I say to everybody is, one is, all I have is a point of view. I don't know, in quotation marks, anything. This is just my point of view about life. If everything in your life is working exactly as you want it to, then great. You keep it. You maintain it. You make it a cookie cutter, and you just keep cutting the dough with that cookie cutter. That's great. If not, then I'm giving you a point of view that hopefully you'll say, whoa, this makes more sense to me. I never thought of it this way. But in order for you to be able to do that, you have to be open to allowing other points of view in. And that's one of the things that happens with age. When we're teenagers, when we're young, we know everything. As we become chronologically advantaged, and I've finally gotten there, then we realize how little we do know. We all have, the one book I had with Jack Canfield, I have a chapter, and, pardon me, in that chapter, my chapter is Life According to Me. And I believe we've all done that. We all have life according to me, how life works according to me. And sometimes the way life works according to ourselves doesn't factor in other people's feelings. And every one of us has feelings, but society doesn't say it's okay to express your feelings. So what do we do when somebody says something or does something to us? We get upset. And what do? We were taught when we were little kids, you don't want to hurt another person's feelings. But what does that mean when you say, hey, I can't hurt your feelings? It means that when my feelings get hurt, I got to stuff them. And that's what ends up happening. That's what we get angry, we get resentful, we get hostile, we withdraw, we withhold. But we're stuffing our feelings. And we have to learn and give ourselves permission. Hey, express your feelings. You're entitled to express your feelings. And if you're hurt by what I say, that's you. And I'm going to share with you in a few minutes something from Miguel Ruiz's book, The Four Agreements. And the second agreement, I don't remember all the agreements, but I absolutely know that the second agreement is don't take anything personally. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Back to my outline. We're on page 2. Out of 8. Holding on to things that other people have said and done to us, in my opinion, is the leading cause of disease. We got to let this stuff go. Do you remember the movie about two twin girls? They were 11 or 12 years old, and one lived with their mother, one lived with their father, and they got together for the summer or something, and the dad was going to get married to this ditzy blonde, and neither one of the girls liked her. And they went out on a hike, and the girls kept putting a rock in her backpack, and it kept getting heavier and heavier and heavier. That's what we're doing when we don't forgive. That backpack is becoming so enormous, it'll bring us to our knees. It is so heavy. And I can't imagine a heavier burden for anybody to carry than not forgiving. The only thing that comes to my mind, and the Jews lead the world in this, is guilt. And I don't say that to be a smart aleck, but Jewish people, for the most part, guilt is a big part of that culture. But isn't guilt really the inability to forgive yourself? So forgiveness is absolutely huge. And I wanted to share with you Dorothy from the gym, and you guys keep saying, well, the gym. I guess that's the only place I know any people other than Kathy from Starbucks, because I'm here at home, have an office. I've had this office here at home for 17, 18 years, and I don't get out a lot. So anybody around here wants to go out, I'm happy to do it. Anyway, long story short, this is a man named Peter Beale, and he forgave his daughter Amy's murder by a mob in South Africa. She was there to alleviate poverty and violence. And not only did he forgive her, the murders, there were four men that were convicted of it, he supported the killer's amnesty as South Africa moved from a bloody unrest to a post-apartheid government. He hired two of the men to work for the Amy Beale Foundation Trust Fund, which was started in 1997 and has given $5 million to a variety of social programs. He was the mentor to these two men. Desmond Tutu said in a prepared statement about him, what was so remarkable was not only that they forgave their killers of their daughter, but they went as far as to rehabilitate them. He was a mentor for them. This foundation employs 87 people and built a golf driving range outside of Cape Town to provide recreation and jobs for the youth. They put together a chain of bakeries to produce Amy's bread, the bread of hope and peace. Besides jobs and cash, the bakeries provide a message with each sale. The bags have HIV and AIDS prevention information printed on them. Now, this was started after a man forgave the people who murdered his daughter. Okay, we spent 4 weeks talking about ourselves and how every one of us has been hurt. And today, I'm going to extend the invitation to forgive your jailer and let yourself out of prison that you've created for yourself. And we're going to do this by forgiving everybody who's wronged us. Today's guided meditation is going to take us through a process of forgiving the person we need most to forgive. Now, as I said, it's a little under 16 minutes. You can download today's program onto your computer, and for somebody who asked me, I think it was you, Nadine, that it's in your music file on a PC, and if you download it on an Apple, it's in iTunes. But if you just want the guided meditation, send me an email, and I have it on the desktop here, so I can just attach it as an MP3 version for you to either share with other people, or you can use this anytime you want. It's there because today what we're going to do is take it through with one person. And obviously, there's going to be more than one person that we need to forgive. The first time I did this, there was 81 people that came to me as I have to forgive them. Now, on the email for this week, I said that we were going to talk about the emotional, physical, and spiritual effects of non-forgiveness. Let me first define forgiveness. Forgiveness, or forgiving, is releasing the emotional attachment to the pain of the event. I'm not here to say that forgiveness condones behavior, And I'm not telling you that you have to go to the person and say, I forgive you. Forgiveness is only for you. But before we get into forgiveness, let's look at how much, what it costs us if we don't forgive. So emotionally, if we choose not to forgive, we harbor that anger toward that person. We resent that person, and we have a hostile attitude toward them. In other words, we have given all of our power to that person. And when we give our power away, when we give our power to another person, what are we? We're a victim. And we live in a society that teaches us that it's appropriate and okay to be a victim. And I'm here, and my whole goal when I interact with you, when I talk to you, is to empower you. Take back your power from everybody that you've given it to. You are not a victim. You are a creator. You have the power. You need to accept your power. You need to stand up to it. You need to know that you're not in this alone. It's a partnership with you and your creator, and together you can do whatever you came here to do. You can't when you give your power to somebody else and you make them a victim. You make yourself a victim. I'm sorry. And when you do that, you live in fear. So that's what happens emotionally when we give our power away. Now, just as a story, I don't know, probably 20 years ago, we were going to have Christmas Eve dinner at our house, and I had gone out to make, I had to do some errands and some last-minute shopping, and I made a video for my wife. And we come home, and she said her cousin called and wants us to come to dinner there tomorrow. I said, well, we're having them for dinner tonight, and once a year is enough, and blah, blah, blah. And my wife says, you call her. And I said, well, no, you call her. So she calls her, and I hear my wife on the phone, and she says, don't yell at me. And I took the phone, and I start yelling and went ballistic. And she hung up, and her husband called back and said, can I talk to Rosemary? And I said, no. And I hung up, so you know how this escalated right down into two little kids. And then the father-in-law calls and said, you're the man. You have to make this right. And I said, well, are you threatening me? Well, needless to say, nobody came to our house for Christmas Eve, and Christmas was a mess, and it was my fault. Well, turns out that we have Uncle Joe, who is the king of grudges. And what does he tell me? He says, you got to make it right. Now, they live right down the street. So every time I went past their house, which was a minimum of twice a day, my heart rate went up unbelievably. So what I did is, it took me a month, but I called her and I said, Georgie, please forgive me for my behavior. And I did it for me. She didn't say anything. I didn't have an expectation that she would say anything. And that's the way it went. So I did it for me to release myself from that bondage that I was in. Now, in this particular case, I actually said something. But you don't have to. Remember, When we stuff our feelings, it causes our body eventually to manifest these feelings. And the only way the body knows how to do it is with a disease. So you kind of remember that. And I've talked to people, and I'm really running behind here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to, we're going to break this into two or three parts. Because I am just getting started on page 3 of 8 pages I have. And what happens with me is, this is the most scripted I've ever done anything in my life. I can get in front of 1,000 people and I can talk to them for 2 hours and I'm going to respond to them. The hardest part of this radio part with me is I'm talking and I'm sitting here by myself and I don't have anybody to talk to. I don't hear anybody. Like I said, I'm not doing real good. There's only 2 people in the chat room. And I don't do real good at reading it anyhow. But my point is I'm spontaneous in where I am. And I allow myself, my intuition, God, pardon me, whatever you call it, to guide me and let it go. So It's 2:30 Pacific time here, and the meditation is 16 minutes. And I wanted, what I'm going to do is go through what it costs us not to forgive, and then I'm going to do the meditation, and then we're going to continue on and see what I can cover in the hour, and then next week I'll go ahead and continue on. I, you know, as I sit here with it, there's nothing more important. You know, forgiving is not an event. Forgiving is like going to the bathroom. It's like breathing. It's like brushing your teeth. It's like eating. We got to do it all the time. We got to forgive ourselves, and we got to forgive each other. And to cover it in one show or two shows doesn't make any sense. If I'm talking about heart-based living and loving, then forgiving is like doing spring cleaning. We can't do anything until we get to this place where we say, that's it. I've had enough pain. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to let it go. It doesn't matter if I'm right. It doesn't matter if somebody wronged me. What if you brought them into your life and you planned and asked them to do that so that you could learn to get past that anger, to get past that hatred, to get past that hostility, and you could learn to love? So what if you created this? So physically, if we choose to stuff our feelings of anger and resentment and hostility, like I said, the only way the body knows how to react is to create a disease. And many times that's cancer. Now, we know that we've known people that have died rather than forgive somebody else. Now, this next comment is going to come across as maybe inappropriate, but to me, not forgiving is like being constipated. And we got to let it go. The last thing, and then we're going to go into the meditation, is spiritually, how can we have a loving, nurturing relationship with our Creator if we harbor anger, resentment, and hostility? We need to surrender this anger. We need to surrender the resentment, and we need to surrender the hostility and take back our power. We've got all this negative weight we're carrying around with us, and our power and our love, our compassion, our caring is what we want in our life. We want to be happy. It's not important about being right. Every human being who's ever lived has been wronged. We can never be fully empowered when we're a victim. And if we don't forgive somebody, we've chosen to play the role of being their victim. Let me real quick share what Miguel Ruiz, it's not real quick, okay, I lied. How you doing out there, Nadine? Noreen, you're there too. And I'm sure that Lori is there. And they tell each other. Last week I talked about a guy who's 90 and has been married for 66 years. Two people told him. Says, did you know that Jim talked about you on your show? And then somebody else said, did you tell Cam that you were going to talk about her face? Oh, boy, I can't do anything. Anyway, this is agreement number two, and it says, and the agreement is, don't take anything personally. Nothing other people do is because of you. It is because of themselves. All people live in their own dream, in their own mind, and they are completely in a different world from the one you live in. When you take things personally, you feel offended, and your reaction is to defend your beliefs and create conflict. You make something big out of something little because you need to be right and make everybody else wrong. You try to be right by giving them your own opinions. But what you say, what you do, and the opinions you have are according to the agreements that you have made. And these opinions have nothing to do with the people around you. Your point of view is something personal to you, and it's no one's truth but yours. In the same way, others are going to have their own opinion according to their belief system. Nothing they think about me is really about me. It's about them. If I understand this, then when you get mad at me, I know you're dealing with yourself. I am the excuse for you to get mad. You may even tell me, Miguel, what you are saying is hurting me. But it's not what I am saying that's hurting you. It is that you have wounds that I have touched by what I have said. You're hurting yourself. there is no way that I can take this personally. Not because I don't believe in you or don't trust you, but because I know that you see the world with different eyes. You see the world with your eyes. Don't take anything personally, because by taking things personally, you set yourself up to suffer for nothing. Even the opinions you have about yourself are not necessarily true. Therefore, you don't need to take whatever you hear in your own mind personally. Write this agreement on paper and put it on your refrigerator to remind you all the time, don't take anything personally. As you make a habit of not taking anything personally, you won't need to place your trust in what others do or say. You will only need to trust yourself and make responsible choices. You are never responsible for the actions. You are only responsible for you. You're never responsible for the actions of others. When you truly understand this and you refuse to take things personally, you can hardly be hurt by careless comments or actions of others. You can travel around the world with your heart completely open. You can say, I love you, without fear of being rejected. You can ask for what you need without guilt or self-judgment. You can choose to follow your heart always and live with inner peace and happiness. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to play about a minute's worth of music, and then I'm going to go right into the guided meditation, which is recorded, and it's going to give you instructions before it actually goes in it. So I will be back with you live here in about 17 minutes. Before we actually do the guided meditation, I'd like to tell you how it's going to work. What I'm going to do is have you go into a relaxed state, and then I'm going to ask you to allow the person that you need most to forgive to come into your mind's eye. Now, here's where we have a couple of issues that I want to discuss first. Don't try and choreograph and say, I need to forgive so-and-so the most. This isn't an issue of what you're trying to control. You're allowing your subconscious mind to dictate what it believes is the person and or the relationship that you need most to forgive. So that's the first thing. Allow it to happen. Don't try to control it. The second thing is that when I say allow this person to come into your mind's eye, some people will be able to actually see a person's face come into their mind's eye. I can't. So maybe you'll imagine the person, or maybe you'll get a name. Doesn't matter how it actually happens. Trust that the first name, the first face that comes into you, comes to you when we do this, is the one that you need to forgive the most. The next thing is that the past exists as a perception in your mind's eye. So what we're going to do is we're going to change the perception.
And once we change the perception, the relationship changes. Now, if everybody's ready, let us get started. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes and to relax. Take a deep breath and let go of any pain, stress, worry, problems that you may have. Take another deep breath and just relax. Relax from the top of your head, your eyes, your face, your neck. Relax your shoulders, your arms, your hands. Allow your upper body just to relax. Sitting comfortably, softly, relaxing in your chair. Allowing your legs to relax. And down to your calves and finally to your feet. You're fully relaxed. And now, you are ready to embark upon a guided meditation that is a gift to you to help you heal yourself from your past, to become whole and complete, and to enjoy the rest of your life at the highest level without having the burden of a relationship that didn't provide you with the fruit that you would have liked. And now, allow that person that you need most to forgive to come into your mind's eye. You may see the face, you may imagine the face, you may have a name come to you. Whichever happens, trust that. And now I want you to go back to the event that hasn't been forgiven, that hasn't healed. Once you have this event, see that person, sense that person, feel that person. And I want you to give him or her all the resources that you would have wanted them to have handled this event in the most loving, caring, generous way possible. So you may want to give him or her a sense of self-esteem, a sense of self-love, a sense of compassion, maybe patience, maybe tolerance. How about understanding? What other qualities would you have wanted this person to have had in order to have handled this interaction from the highest and most loving place possible? Take a moment to give him or her all of these qualities. Now, what qualities would you have wanted to have had yourself in order to have handled this situation in a place of complete and total love? Maybe you would have wanted to be more loving, to be more understanding, not to have taken anything he or she said or did personally. To accept this person the way they are. To have loved yourself more. To have had a higher sense of self-esteem. Maybe the ability to say no. Maybe to set a boundary. Maybe to be patient or more understanding. How about more compassionate? How about believing in yourself, standing up for yourself, knowing that you deserve the highest and the best that there is. Now take a moment to give yourself any other resources that you would have wanted to have had in order to have handled this event from the highest and the most loving way possible. Okay, now, you have given this person all the resources you would have wanted him or her to have in order to have handled this event from a place of love, compassion, understanding, caring. And you have given yourself the resources that you would have wanted to have had in order to have handled this in a way that would allow you to have a loving, caring outcome. Now what I want you to do, with both of you having these resources, is to replay this event. Now, the event has been replayed, and now there is a different outcome. This outcome now replaces the previous outcome that you have stored in your memory bank. Now, with the new outcome, the relationship is totally different. I want you to go back to that day, back to that event, with both of you having had the resources that you would have wanted to have had in order to have handled it totally differently. The outcome has changed, and now I want you to move from that day with this new outcome and replay how the relationship has changed. And bring that forward from that day to to this very day. Okay, now, you have gone back, you have changed the event, which changed the relationship, and the relationship has been brought from the event up to current, and now I want you to take a moment to get in touch with your feelings. How did you feel before you did this meditation, and how do you feel now? And I want you to determine where you're feeling this. What part of your body did you hold this anger, this unforgiveness in? And what does that part of your body feel like now? Scan your body from your head to your toes and feel how it feels different now. Okay, now we have completed forgiving one person. If you feel at some time in the future that this isn't complete, you can go back and do this over again. You can also use the same process again and again and just allow whoever comes into your mind as the person you need most to forgive to use this exercise on. What we're going to do now is I'm going to count you back up from 1 until 5. When I get to 5, you're going to be wide awake, you're going to be alert, you're going to be refreshed, and you're going to be at ease. 1, you're becoming more awake, you're feeling yourself. 2, you're moving your hands, you're moving your feet, you're taking deeper breaths, you're feeling much better. 3, you're more and more awake. 4, you're almost awake, you're right back in the room. And 5, here you are, you're back in the room, you're ready to go.
Okay, I'm back with you now, and would love to hear what your experience was, either in the chat room or the number posted on your board, which is 347-324-3497. Or if you want to talk to me alone afterward, I'm at 818-348-8266. My first question is to Nadine, and it is, did you stay awake during this meditation? I can't hear you, Nadine. Now, there's two ways you can do this again. Number one is email me. Susan Moore just asked for me to send the MP3. As soon as I get off, I'll send that to her. Or I started the meditation at approximately a few seconds after 38 minutes into the program. So if you download this program and you want to just go to the meditation, you can do that. I would encourage you to go to this meditation as often as you feel the urge to do that. So, now, we don't have anybody in the chat room and nobody on the line, so that means I'll just continue on. What I'm going to do then is next week, I didn't get into hardly anything of what I really want to deal with as far as this goes, so what we'll do is we'll continue this next week. If there's anything, any questions you have or anything you want to share with me that we can cover next week, I'd be more than happy to do that, because this is for you. This is a gift that you've given to yourself. You've gotten to this place in your life where you said, hey, I'm ready to let go. I'm ready to forgive. I'm ready to close the door on my past, because I deserve to have the rest of my life be one of love, one of happiness, one of abundance. So I have to take that backpack of fear, anger, resentment, hostility, unforgiveness, and just get rid of it. Today I'd like to close with a story that I used to close in my speaking presentations quite a lot. And it is called Dreams. And this is the first day of school. Our professor introduced himself, and he challenged us to get to know somebody we didn't already know. I stood up and I looked around when a gentle little hand touched my shoulder. I turned around to find a wrinkled little old lady beaming up at me with a smile that lit up her entire being. She said, "Hi, handsome. My name is Rose. I'm 87 years old. Can I give you a hug?" I laughed and enthusiastically responded, "Well, of course you may." And she gave me a giant squeeze. "Why are you in college at such a young, innocent age?" I asked. She jokingly replied, "I'm here to meet a rich man, a rich husband, get married, and have a couple of kids." "No, seriously," I asked. I was curious what may have motivated her to take on this challenge at her age. "I've always dreamed of having a college education, and now I'm getting one," she told me. After class, we walked to the Student Union building and shared a chocolate milkshake. We became instant friends. Every day for the next 3 months, we would leave class together and talk nonstop. I was always mesmerized listening to this time machine as she shared her wisdom and experience with me. Over the course of the year, Rose became a campus icon, and she easily made friends wherever she went. She loved to dress up, and she reveled in the attention bestowed upon her from other students. She was living it up. At the end of the semester, we invited Rose to speak at our football banquet. I'll never forget what she taught us. She was introduced and she stepped up to the lectern. As she began to deliver her prepared speech, she dropped her 3x5 cards on the floor. Frustrated and a little embarrassed, she leaned into the microphone and simply said, "I'm so sorry. I'm so jittery. I gave up beer for Lent. And this whiskey is killing me. I'll never get my speech back in order, so just let me tell you what I know." As we laughed, she cleared her throat and began, "We do not stop playing because we are old. We grow old because we stop playing. There are only 4 secrets to staying young, being happy, and achieving success. 1, you have to laugh and find humor every day. 2, you've got to have a dream. When you lose your dreams, you die. We have so many people walking around who are dead and don't even know it. 3, there is a huge difference between growing older and growing up. If you are 19 years old and you lie in bed for 1 full year and you don't do 1 productive thing, you will turn 20 years old. If I'm 87 years old and stay in bed for a year and never do anything, I will turn 88. Anybody can grow older. That doesn't take any ability or talent. The idea is to grow up by always finding the opportunity in change. 4, have no regrets. The elderly don't usually have regrets for what we did, but rather for the things we did not do. The only people who fear death are those with regrets. She concluded her speech by courageously singing The Rose. She challenged each of us to study the lyrics and live them out in our daily lives. At the year's end, Rose finished the college degree she had begun all those years ago. And 1 week after graduation, Rose died peacefully in her sleep. Over 2,000 college students attended her funeral in tribute to the wonderful woman who taught by example that it's never too late to be all that you can possibly be. And that's true of each one of us. Doesn't matter what the time is, what the day is, what our age is. It's never too late to be all that you can possibly be. So next week's show is going to continue on forgiveness. And it'll be next Tuesday, which is February 26th. It'll be from 2 to 3 Pacific time. And just to remind you, in case you want to stampede and get my books or book me to speak or be your life coach, my website is jimbrownspeaker.com. Here's the closing quote for today. The adventure of life is to learn. The purpose of life is to grow. The nature of life is to change. The challenge of life is to overcome. The essence of life is to care. The opportunity of life is to serve. The secret of life is to dare. The spice of life is to befriend. And the beauty of life is to give. As I say goodbye today, I send you love from my heart to your heart. And those of you at the gym, I'll hear from you. And the rest of you, we will be together next Tuesday, February 26th at 2 o'clock Pacific time. Bye for now.